In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, on this morning of redefining things, I just had yet one more thing redefined. So my family's had to tolerate them showing up in my sermons for roughly 10 years now, and it just happened to me in the teaching with my wife. I actually found it very amusing, so good to know that all these things come full circle on occasion, isn't it? Not what you expect, things happen. The concepts in the gospel according to Mark this morning are very much about that. As we hear Jesus teaching a very difficult truth about who he is, he is not teaching their understanding. See, it helps to know that in the gospel according to Mark, Peter has just made a declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. And immediately following that, then he began to teach, him being Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. But I suspect by the time he got to, and after 3 days, rise again, Peter was, his head was already buzzing, right? He wasn't hearing anything else, and he goes and he gets Jesus, and he's, can I talk to you for a minute? And he takes him aside, and I'm thinking, I just told everybody, I just publicly proclaimed you as Messiah, and you just told them how you're going to be defeated. Because from worldly perspective, that looks like defeat, brothers and sisters, doesn't it? And Jesus is supposed to be their Messiah, who they understood to be, he was going to be a warrior. He was going to lead the rebellion to free the people from the Roman oppression, amen? That's what they were looking for. They had no reason to believe that would be the case. That is not what the prophets said the Messiah would look like. But that's what they decided the Messiah would look like, because they understood what freedom meant to them, but they did not understand what freedom means to God. So they had their preconceived notion of what this Messiah would look like and how this Messiah would behave. And then Peter proclaims, this is the Messiah, Jesus. And then he begins to teach that in a way that sounds like he's going to be defeated and that he would lose the battle. But we know that we actually, through Jesus Christ, have the victory. Amen? Amen. The concepts going forward is Jesus is teaching something to his disciples that they didn't understand the way they should have. It was different. They had a thought, they had a plan, and all of a sudden, it doesn't look the way they wanted it to look. So Peter takes him aside and has this conversation, rebukes him. And then Jesus does a really interesting thing. So I'm just imagining the scene, right? Everybody's, the conversation. Peter has claimed Jesus as Messiah. And then his next, very next teaching, he begins to talk in a way that sounds like he's being defeated. Peter takes him aside and has this conversation rebuking him and saying this, you know, not to be. And Jesus, I imagine, is having this conversation. He turns to everybody else and rebukes Peter. And not just rebuking him, saying, hey, just so you know, I think Peter's wrong. He turns and looks at his disciples, rebuking Peter, and said, get behind me, Satan. Now, I suspect at that point, Peter was feeling a little awkward. Here they're having this gathering, and suddenly the person he just proclaimed to be Messiah is calling him Satan. For you are setting your mind on divine things, but you are not setting your mind on divine things, but on human things. See, we don't fully understand what God's doing, do we? There's a different way of knowing, and that is always true. A different way of knowing. If we trust ourselves, we are just doing that, trusting ourselves. I don't know how your life has been, but on occasion I've trusted myself and found out I was wrong. It has happened one or two times today. But the fact is, Jesus, not only is he defining, or in this case, actually for his disciples, redefining what it looks like for him to be Messiah, which we all know is to be true, And it's challenging those who are following him to the level where they're taking the leader aside and going, I think you got this wrong. And then he very openly to the rest says, you got it wrong, get behind me. You're listening to the wrong voice, brother. Either listen to the Messiah or you're listening to an ungodly direction in your life. Then he defines something else. Verse 34, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Now, for someone who's supposed to be gaining followers, that doesn't really sound like a great invite, does it? And I think we probably still struggle with it today. It's still a very difficult teaching. And as I read the lessons for this week, I generally read them fairly early in the week, hopefully Monday. And then I begin to pray and discern which passage am I supposed to be preaching on. And I must have read this passage, I'd say, at least 50 times. And I'm thinking, what is it about this passage, Lord, that I'm not understanding? Why does this passage mean something different now than it always has? And that's when I finally figured it out. Jesus is pointing to his death, and we know that death is on a cross, and they would have known at that time. It would have been normal for someone being put to death by that group to be put to death on a cross. So after he predicts his death, his apparent defeat, likely ending on a cross, he then turns to them and says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross. And that sounds very righteous, doesn't it? And as I was sitting with this and praying about it, I realized that this looks different now. It looks different. In the time of pandemic, coming on a year now, all of our lives have changed dramatically. My life as an ordained minister has changed so dramatically, there are times I can barely recognize it. I was working on my expenses. Ron will be very pleased to know that. Actually managed to do January and February. You know how many miles I drove in February for the church? 13. That's an unusually low number. Of course, not as low as it has been. Zero was mostly the number for a year. Everything I knew and understand is different. What hasn't changed is what it takes to be a disciple. What's changed is my perception of what's going on. I'm the one who has shifted. God hasn't. Jesus redefined for his followers what it looks like for him to be their Messiah, to be our Messiah, our Savior. That is the definition. Then he tells them what it takes to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. That has not changed, brothers and sisters. What has changed is the situation in which we, followers of Jesus, now live. And it's difficult, isn't it? In the midst of pandemic, Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. Deny yourself and pick up your cross. And I have to be honest with you, after almost a year of living in a pandemic, there are plenty of days I have a hard enough time just picking me up off the couch. Because we all, of course, want to rush off and go do, well, nothing we can really do. I would like nothing better than to get together. I'd love to go down to a good Mexican restaurant and eat some chips and salsa with the people at the table. You remember when we used to do that? They put like one or two bowls in the middle of the table and we'd all take chips and dip it in there. Unless you're with my grandkids. You do not want to do that with my grandkids. They do not understand no double dipping. That was gross even before a pandemic. But we used to be able to do these things, right? We could sit at tables together for hours and laugh and talk and actually see each other's mouths move. It's not like that anymore, is it? We used to be able to come to church and engage with the people we know and love. Even, and wait for it, touch one another appropriately. In public. We could shake hands. We could give somebody a hug. And now we just kind of look at each other and we go, feels about the same, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Some people came back to church after we were allowed to come back to church, and they said, I don't like it. Every other pew's marked off. We got rid of the blue tape, thank you. So it looks a little bit classier. Because, you know, with blue tape, this isn't going to be forever. We'll just put the blue tape. Now we bought some, you know, brown little rope, so it doesn't look so obnoxious. But still, we sit every other pew. Then there's little blue spots on the pew, so we know that we have to stay 6 feet away from each other, unless you're in a family group. Then, of course, as close as you want. And then we have different events that we do. Some are online, some are in person, some are online and in person, amen? To which we're grateful. But of course, that just changed my life again. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is I preach from here. Why does that matter? Because when I preach from here, they lose me. And nobody at home knows what happened. He wandered off again. So I try not to do that. So that's why I sit here and I go like this. Don't move your feet, just move your body. When we first started, they actually put tape on this front pew that you couldn't see. Don't go past these lines. You go past these lines, we can't see you anymore. And I think, well, that's probably actually a benefit for some. But the fact is, everything has changed. Everything we knew, everything we understand has changed. And I have to say, when I look at the congregation, brothers and sisters, as your perceived spiritual leader, we're missing something. And it breaks my heart. We are missing each other. We're missing community. We are missing what it means to fully be the church to our understanding. Maybe you came back. Maybe you still have to stay home. Maybe you've grown used to being at home and it's easier than coming back. I don't know what the situation is. Everybody's different, and we honor that. We do. But the other thing we have to remember is we are still, I believe we are still, disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? So one thing hasn't changed. If we want to follow him, we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow. That doesn't change. What changes is what does it look like to deny yourself, and what does it look like to pick up your cross? And I would say, brothers and sisters, at this point, almost a year into the pandemic, as I look at you all, as I look at our community, I say, something's not okay anymore. We are designed to be in relationship. And the struggle is the same struggle we all have in pandemic. Pick up the cross, and we're thinking, you're lucky if I can pick up my feet today. It's so much easier to just say, no, not today. We all do it, I think. Maybe it's just me and you all are doing better at this, I don't know. I struggle with it, I do. Last Easter Sunday broke me. There were six of us here. I had to go outside. I walked away, if you were watching on camera, I walked out the door and wept. Something's missing, and it's us. Many parts of our life have returned in some fashion. Many of our children are back in school. Many of us are back to work at our jobs. We probably walk around with a mask on. Our children probably do the same, we hope. But we are still doing it. The problem is, sometimes, after having to do everything so different all week long. It's just hard to do one more thing different. I want something to be the same, and church isn't the same. We're not singing, we're not allowed to do this, we can't touch, we do the peace by waving. Not necessarily a bad thing, but we do this other piece where we there's no coffee hour, you know, there's no gathering together, we don't have meals together on Wednesdays. There's just so many things we're not doing. Brothers and sisters, we still must follow Jesus. And part of that is being his church, and part of being his church is being together, and part of being together is serving him and serving his people, amen? So we have to continue, and we have to find the way, and this passage today might mean that it is time to deny ourselves. So when we wake up and think, you know what, I can get dressed or get the kids dressed, or I could push the slightly older kids that maybe don't want to get up and go to church. And if you're one of them, don't feel bad. I felt the same way. My father was so kind on Sunday mornings. I was much younger, 9, 10 years old. He'd come in every Sunday and go, hey, are you going to church today? And before you could answer, he'd say, good, get dressed. So we did. There are days I still feel like that. Am I going to church today? Yeah, good, get dressed. And I'm the priest. because I feel like you do. It's not the wholeness of what we're used to, but the reality is I just want what I want, which I'm used to getting. I'm the youngest of 6 kids. And as my wife corrected me at the 8 o'clock service, which means there's 5 other people who think I'm spoiled. And she raised her hand, so that actually made 6. And I'd like to feel bad about that, but I don't. Anybody the youngest in their family of your siblings? Right? Right, Emma? We know. What's that mean? We're special. And we know it. We're the baby. I'm 50, almost 54 years old, and I am still the baby. No matter what. And everybody thinks we're spoiled. Well, we're really not. It just at some point, oh, now I see the older children are raising their eyebrows. My family, my parents, when the first one was able to drive, they bought a third car to make it available to those who could drive. Well, the problem is there were times there were 2 and 3 people who were able to drive. So when I was in high school, guess what? Everybody else was either gone or had their own car. But we still had 3 cars. So I basically had my own car. I was spoiled. No, I had the same thing you did. There just wasn't anybody to share it with. So I'm used to having my way. The vestry will vouch for that. But the fact, that was a loud laugh back there. And I want so desperately for us to have church like we knew church. But you know what? I don't get it. So what I have to do, and why this passage has been just digging into me, is I have to just get up and deny what I want and do what Jesus told me to do. Deny yourself, pick up my cross, and follow him. Now that's not to diminish what the cross might be. I think my cross is actually a little bigger and maybe heavier than just that. But the denying of myself comes in every moment of every day when I want to do what I want and then realize I cannot, and then I have the choice of I can fall into myself and my pity and do nothing, or I can follow Jesus, amen? So I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, if you're having a hard time, if you are struggling, if you walked into the church and it was just too weird for you, and you said, I'll come back when it's different. It's been almost a year. It's not getting different. It just isn't, is it? It's just become the thing. I wear a mask so much that there are times I drive all the way home by myself in my truck with my mask on. I used to laugh at those people. Look at that guy driving in the car by himself with the mask on. You know, he doesn't need it. And I'm driving along going, ugh. Why am I wearing this mask? Well, because it's just a new accessory that I have. I even look at him going, gray or black? Because, you know, it gotta go with my outfit. The stores that sell these things, you can buy masks from them to match. Seasonal, church season, colors. It's just different, isn't it? We don't like it. Well, I don't know anybody who likes it. At first, as an introvert, I thought this is the coolest thing ever. But now, even as an introvert, I'm like, is there anybody out there? Can I come see you? I'm like begging my way into the hospital in desperate times, because that's the only time I can get in there. Unless it's St. Joe's. They are so good to you there as a clergy person. But just, you have to fight your way in to do what we're called to do. And I don't want to. But the call is the same. So I deny what I want, and I follow Jesus. Most days. Some days, I fight it, and I lose. Those are bad days. Haven't had one happen on Sunday yet, but today was close. This is, I got out of bed 35 minutes before the early service began. I'm just tired. I don't even do anything and I'm tired. I like to chalk it up to old age, but it's really not that. I know it isn't. It's the whole thing. Yesterday we had the great joy of going out and serving our TLC ministry, Susan and I, at the IGA store in Dover. That ministry looks nothing like the vision we had for it. It was all about connection and engaging with community, and now it's about getting meals individually packed and handing them to somebody safely, and then they carry it away. And we don't get to know them, and we don't get to talk to them, and we don't get to share the love of Christ in any other way other than the fact that we are saying, God loves you, and so do we. But we really wanted the opportunity to sit with them and say, tell me your story. Tell me what's happening in your world. How can we pray for you? And we're getting better at it. We're learning new ways. And yesterday, in the midst of sort of lamenting what the plan was and living in what it is and being hopeful for what it will be, and I realized I wasn't spending enough time in it. So God, as he does, made sure he sent someone for me. And this man, I was going to say this little man, because he's shorter than I am, so that makes him really, he qualifies. I mean, if you're shorter than I am, you're not a very big person, or at least not tall. And he comes over to the table, and I said, oh, can I get you a meal? And he's going, no, you, we don't speak the same language. And I take the meals out anyway, and I set them on the table. I said, how many do you need? He goes, no, you, fresh. He said that in Spanish, but for whatever reason, I understood what he was saying. And he opens up his backpack. He goes, you, fresh, take. And he takes out this box of strawberries. And I'm like, thank you. We don't know what to do. But we knew God was there. In that moment, we knew God was there because he was speaking. We didn't even speak the same language, and we both knew God was there. Amen? See, some things never change. Here's my concern. If we continue to wait for it to be the way we want it, what will there be, period? We're acting like God is at quarantine. He's not. He is alive and well and doing all the things that he's always done. And he still calls to the church, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I know it's not what we want, and it may not look the way we want it to look. We may not even like it, amen? Not to be offensive to those who are online, but there's nothing more nerve-wracking to me than to know that every single thing I say and every single thing I do is recorded forever on the internet, which includes when I dropped a chalice last Sunday morning at the 8 o'clock service. Thankfully, before I put that little drip of wine in it. But it's like, I had to go back and look at it myself and laugh. It's like, you can't control your own hands. But it's there forever. I mean, we could do an incredible blooper reel. Yeah, there's, go early enough, you can watch and see me almost fall on my face coming off of the altar at the time of doing communion. It's just, yeah, I tripped. The whole congregation that was here went, oh, but you're not mic'd, so nobody heard that. We discuss camera angles, brothers and sisters. That's part of our liturgy. This morning, we were testing microphones because you probably noticed last week we lost the microphone connection in the chapel. We are learning so many things that, to be very blunt and honest with you, I never cared about. And I don't want to learn them. But I did. I had to deny myself in order to follow. Jesus is alive and well. If you find the rest of your life is back intact in some way, although probably not the way you like it, and you are struggling to make that true in your faith community, I wonder whose voice you're hearing. See, Peter wasn't hearing the voice of the Messiah, was he? He was hearing himself, and perhaps the one who deceives. We must hear the words of Jesus, who says to us this day, in the midst of this struggle, where things don't look the way we want them to look, we must stop and deny ourselves and work by picking up our cross and following him now.